You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are continuing the Art of the Session series. So our second, I guess our 2.0 summer school series, but this one is Art of the Session. And I hope that I know this is only the third one, so maybe you haven't connected the dots yet, so I'll connect them for you. I'm hoping that you have seen that we are literally starting at the beginning and doing the progression. So first episode in this series was making sure your playroom was set up. Then it was interacting with your client slash child and parent slash customer in the lobby. Now, today we're talking about heading toward the playroom. Not once inside the playroom yet, that'll come. But this is, what do we do as we're heading back to the playroom? I've noticed in a lot of videos that I've been reviewing lately and a lot of discussions in the coaching and the collective that people understand in general what CCPT is, and people understand the clinical side, the skills. But what seems to be missing is the nuanced components of the process. So that's really what I'm trying to accomplish with this Art of the Session series, is that there's awareness of what we're supposed to be doing at every point along the way. So that's what I'm hoping you'll see this all come together. So today, heading to the playroom, what does that look like? How are we to be interacting as we're walking back from the lobby to actually moving into the playroom? One of the helpful things that I've done and I've trained my therapist to do is, after you have that lobby interaction, like we talked about in the last episode, then I typically say to the child, I'm ready if you are. I have often said, I wonder if you're ready to go play, but I think I tend to more often than not say, I'm ready if you are. And that indicates to the child that it's time to go play. Now, here's what you need to know before we dive into my process. We're going to get into the four pillars. We're going to get into the reflective responses. We're going to look at those in light of, what does that mean in the play session? How are those executed? What's the outcome? What's the purpose? What's the why? I know we've covered the skills before, but we've not covered them in light of being in a session with a child as part of the process from start to finish. So we're going to look at all of those. But here's what we're talking about today. When you think about choices, we know that choice giving is one of our pillars. When you think about choices, there are two different kinds. We're going to dive into that more deeply. It is very difficult to provide empowerment choices in a session. It is possible. It is just difficult. The circumstances are not ideal for being able to offer empowerment choices frequently. However, it is easy to work empowerment choices into your approaching the playroom process. And we're also going to talk about the consistency and the predictability of the entire process. So this goes into that constancy that we provide as well. But what we're talking about today are offering empowerment choices as part of your standard routine every single week. All right, so let's start diving into this. As you have spent time in the lobby, as you're ready to walk back, you now have said, I'm ready if you are. The child says, yep, let's go. And we start walking back to the playroom. All right, that's where we are in the process. Empowerment choices are worked in so that the child gets practice making choices, so that it's consistent every single time. And so we're not hoping for opportunities in the playroom. The way we have found this to work is, for us, where they choose to wash their hands, for example. Our policy is clean hands going in, clean hands coming out. So therefore, every kid washes their hands before the start of every playtime, and they wash their hands at the end of every playtime. Therefore, we have an empowerment choice. You can choose to wash your hands in the bathroom, or you can choose to wash your hands in the playroom. Which do you choose? Many of you do not have sinks in your playrooms. So maybe your choice becomes you can choose to wash your hands or you can choose to use hand sanitizer. Which do you choose? Ironically, we also have sanitizer, but we typically say wash your hands in the bathroom or the playroom. But you can choose to wash your hands in the bathroom or you can choose to use sanitizer to clean your hands. Which do you choose? One of my former coaching participants is in the UK and she's in the school environment. And Lee does not have a sink anywhere near her playroom. She has to take the child from the classroom to the playroom. And so she has two separate bottles of hand sanitizer. I actually have a current participant that also has two bottles of sanitizer in the room. So this is another option. And so for Lee in the UK, in the school, for example, I don't know if she put one on there. I don't know exactly what the circumstances are, but there's animals on the bottles. So she offers, you can choose to use the sanitizer with the giraffe, or you can choose to use the sanitizer with the zebra. Which do you choose? And although it would be giraffe and zebra in her case, but look, I possess some skills in some things, but accents are not one of them. So I apologize to all of you Brits that just butchered your beautiful language. Anyway, so she offers the animal. You can choose to use the zebra or the giraffe. I don't even know if those are the animals, but you get the concept. And notice that this becomes a routine part of every single walking back to the playroom. How are you going to clean your hands? Another option that you can work in, if you are not on the first floor of a building, for example, I know many of you are not, you can give the choice of you can choose for us to do the stairs or you can choose for us to do the elevator. Which do you choose? Another option, you can choose to push the buttons for the elevator or you can choose for me to push the buttons for the elevator. Which do you choose? Another option for us, for example, we have a hallway down both sides of the building from the lobby. So when you walk into our lobby, there's a right door and there's a left door, and it makes one big square. So one of the options is you can choose to go down the right door to the playroom or you can choose to go down the left door to the playroom. Which do you choose? All roads lead to the playroom. It's just which counterclockwise or clockwise direction you happen to be moving. Another empowerment choice. The one that we consistently every single time use is how they choose to wash their hands. But sometimes we provide other ones that I'm throwing out for you. Another option, how they choose to get back to the playroom. So once they've decided on their hallway or their path, you can choose to skip to the playroom or you can choose to hop to the playroom. Which do you choose? In one of my current clients' cases, he takes his shoes off and he runs in his socks about as far down the hallway as he can get to leave himself with enough room to slide on his knees the rest of the way down the hallway all the way to the door. And then he comes back to the playroom. So he actually passes the playroom, sliding on his knees and his socks all the way down, and then turns around and then walks back in. But starts at the door and like sprints as fast as he can until he leaves himself enough room to do like the Tom Cruise slide in whatever dance movie that was. Anyway, so the options that you're providing with two kids are for empowerment. And let's go back to why does this matter? We know the value of giving choices. We know how important the child practicing making choices and taking the responsibility and ownership of those choices. But in the playroom session, it is very difficult to consistently have empowerment choices. So we might as well work it into our system. Now, the system itself is important. We're going to talk about that probably next time, actually. We have to have consistency and predictability and stability for the child. That is a monumental, crucial component of our work in child-centered play therapy. Kids need to know what to expect. So yes, we're going to be a broken record. Yes, we're going to say the same thing every time, but that's intentional and there's purpose behind it. And here's the thing, when you do the same exact choice every single week, at some point with most kids, you get about two or three words in as you're walking back. You can choose, I know, I'm choosing to wash my hands in the bathroom. Okay, they know the choice. They don't want you to say it anymore. They will tell you what their choice is before you even get it out. And many therapists go, Well, they clearly are irritated that I keep giving them choices, so I stopped. We will not stop. Well, they clearly know what the choices are, so I don't need to keep repeating it. Yes, we will repeat it. There is purpose in this process. We are going to state the choice out loud every single time. It is for empowerment's sake. It is a reminder that they have control. It is a reminder that they are being given a measure of power. It is a reminder that whatever outcome they choose is tied to the choice that they made. Therefore, ownership is brought into this. We don't let the child's irritation or interruption or I know the choice, you don't need to say it to me anymore, interfere with the process. The process is the same every single time. Now, what I typically say when a kid does that is, you know the choices and you chose to wash your hands in the bathroom. But I don't stop. And the next week, I'm going to say exactly the same thing. This is how the process looks as we're walking back to session. Now, we also provide empowerment choices at the end of the session, but we'll talk about that once we walk ourselves through the entire process in the playroom. This is a downward flow chart, if you all are visual. So think about every single one of these episodes in order. This is likely going to be a long series, y'all. I'm just letting you know. I know it's a summer series, but I think we may be into the fall by the time this is over. That's okay. Endless summer, right? But this is a downward flow chart. So we're seeing the playroom needs to be set up a certain way. Then we need to interact in the lobby. Then we're going to walk kids back to the session. What do we do when they get into the session? Then what are the skills in the session? Then what are we doing when we leave the session? This is a flow chart. And my hope is that this is going to give you all very clear understanding of what this looks like. And you will be much more confident in the execution of these little things because there's some clinical component to this, sure, but this is not truly just the clinical nature of CCPT. I could pop quiz you, what are the Be With attitudes? You likely know them, but do you know how to provide empowerment choices when walking a child back to the session? That's stuff that we don't talk about very much. So my hope is this is providing you with competence and confidence so that you understand exactly what this looks like from start to finish. All right, before I let you go, I want to remind you, we have launched Mastering CPRT. So if you are interested, please go to playtherapynow.com. Until July 17th, you get $100 off with the code CPRT100. So if you've been, I know many of you have already purchased it. We got all kinds of updates yesterday that many of you have already jumped on that and saved money. I'm happy for you all. And Corwell wants that. Corwell specifically said, Brenna, I know how much your audience has bought in. I know how much they care about CCPT. Let's honor that. Let's honor your listeners and your people, and let's help them save money. So we're really excited for you to not pay full price. Please take advantage of that if you are wanting to do the course. Self-paced, on demand, in order, 16 CEs. That's like half of your requirement for your license renewal. And it's APT approved, and it will count toward RPT. So all kinds of reasons why CPRT, mastering CPRT, is going to be helpful for you all. Play Therapy Now is where you can get info. Please use the code CPRT100 to save money. All right, y'all. I love you. I hope you have a great week. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.